make a deal for Comcast's cable channels. We'll not be heard at this time, so that we may find out what's behind curtain number three.
This is Gordon Pepper, and we will be chatting about Let's Make a Deal with Comcast, as well as making a deal with other things. And this is a sort of light week, isn't it, Chico?
Yeah, it's the calm before the turducken. We go over the river and through the woods to our loved one's house. In fact, we may just take next week off. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen next week, but I know what's going to happen this week. This week we're going to review, because we haven't talked about sweeps in a while, let's talk about four sweep premieres. We're also talking about a sweep prelude to a finale, and something that's not happening in sweeps, but something that will happen in January. Two somethings that will happen in January. We have the previews tonight.
Okay. Ooh. Ah.
Yeah. You like Jeopardy? You like Dancing with the Stars? We got you.
Oh, and believe me, lots of news on the Jeopardy front. Believe us. Lots of news. So, Chico, start us off.
From somewhere in America, WLTI, the World's Strongest Game Show podcast, is on. Let's go.
Whee! Welcome to episode number 469.
Nice.
Here.
Yeah, baby, yeah. Yeah, baby, yeah.
On the World's Strongest Game Show podcast here at 5-1. Of course, I am your strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy, and reminding you, if your turkey's frozen now, start defrosting.
Yeah, I gotta go to the fridge. I'll be right back. No. You know what? It'll keep for the next hour or so.
Yes, it will. I, of course, am with my name's Jason Block, of course, with my brothers from another mother, Chico Alexander and Gordon Pepper. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well. Hope you are.
I am, but to start a week off, we need Mr. Johnny Gilbert.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
Now, Jeopardy! Has given us a lot of news related to stuff that's happening in about, I would say, 40 days from now as we record this. On December 30th, the Jeopardy! Postseason will begin. Chico, you have the details.
I do have the details. We went over some of it last week. Now we went over the second chance sort of situation last week. Now, because of our good friends Sam Buttrey and Sarah Foss, the two hosts of Inside Jeopardy, we have more information on the postseason. And of course, you know, the two second chance weeks are going to feed into the champion's wild card. Champion's wild card is going to feed into the Tournament of Champions. But before we get to the details, we have an announcement to pass on. Lisa Ann Walter, who is the Celebrity Jeopardy champion, she will not be competing in the Tournament of Champions. Unfortunately, she could not get out of scheduling conflicts with Abbott Elementary. According to Sarah Foss, a bit of disappointing news, but we have extended the invite for next year. So, expect her to be on the 2026 Tournament of Champions.
Not if Abbott Elementary is as successful as it is, really. I don't know. We will see, because remember, we might see in 2026, Gordon, not one, but two celebrity participants.
That's true.
That is true. Carryover celebrity. And why not?
Yeah, and why not? Now, before we, you know what? You have the names of the people who are going to be participating in the Tournament of Champions and the second chance, yes?
I have the Tournament of Champions names right here. They are Adriana Harmeyer, 15-time champion. Isaac Hirsch, 9-time champion. And Survivor veteran Drew Basil, 7-time champion. These three names are important. These are your 1, 2, 3 seeds. They are automatically through to the semifinal, and they will be playing a friendly on an audio-only friendly on, geez, what is that? Audible?
No, TuneIn Radio.
TuneIn Radio. Thanks, Jay.
I have the app. I have the Jeopardy Radio, yes.
Yep. Joining them, 5-timers Greg Jolin, Allison Betts, Mark Fitzpatrick, Amy Hummel. 4-timers Ryan Manson, Grant DeYoung, Will Wallace, and Amar Kakirdi. 3-timers Lucas Partridge, David Erb, Will Stewart, Dalish Vinjamuri, Rishabh Whipalapati, Allison Gross, and Wikiai Ranilla. In addition, we have the Champions Wildcard winner, which we talked about last week, and 2 more contestants whose games haven't aired. By the way, your wild card stack is Jay Fisher, Marco Sarek, Davey Morrison, Will Weiss, Aiden Orzek, Jen Feldman, Eamon Campbell, Joey DeSena, Raleigh in the house, Evan Dory, and your 2 second chance winners, and 4 more contestants whose games haven't aired or are currently airing.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I have the second chance, though. I have the second chance players if you want them.
All right. Well, we talked about the second chance players last week, didn't we? So if you want to refresh our memories,
I will do. That would be, according to the Jeopardy fan, Ferdinand Percenti, Steve Miller, Josh Moss, Enzo Cunanan, Caitlin Tarr, Colleen Matthews, Tekla Sauter, Jonquil Garrick Reynolds, Josh Pike, Mike Ferguson, Lindsay Deniger, Will Yancey, Drew Goines, Alex Michev, Scott Cheng, Gina Montoya, Zoe Grubman, Sam Cameron. Now, I got something even better for you, okay? We have had our first look at the set and footage of Pop Culture Jeopardy. That trailer premiered, I believe, today.
Correct.
Okay. With Colin Jost as host. I want to see it in action. That's all I'm saying.
It does look nice. I want to see the game in action.
They said 3 episodes a week, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yep. And that starts December 4th. So two weeks from today.
Correct. Yes. But we need to get to regular Jeopardy, if I may.
Okay.
Joey DeSena lost his 3rd game. We had a couple of Wheel of Champions, and Paul Clausen won 2 games. Won 1 game, lost to Mikey McCullough, who played in today's game against Elizabeth Little and Mahal Shah. After Final Jeopardy, we have Mahal with 12,800, Mikey with 7,600, Elizabeth with 3,800, and we have a Final Jeopardy question called Figures of Myth. The clue. Ovid said he, quote, hobbled beating wives with naked arms, the unsustaining heir, shrieking for succor from his sire.
I know this one.
No, by the way, no one did, and I was very surprised they didn't know this one.
Yeah, let's just say he flew too close to the sun on borrowed wings. What is Icarus?
Correct. But Gordon, who toppled Beating Wild with naked arms the unsustaining air?
Oh, easy. The only person that's got naked arms that can beat anybody. Who is Popeye the Sailor Man?
Oh, very good. Very good. But Mahal bet the least and is going into tomorrow's game with $9,799. But Gordon, I got to ask you, what are your thoughts on both Pop Culture Jeopardy and the whole tournament news as we're going on?
I like Pop Culture Jeopardy, but I always said I was going to. So any Jeopardy is good Jeopardy. You know, in terms of that, you know, as I said, let's see it in action. In terms of tournament news, you know, I'm gonna miss her, but at the same point, you know, the show must go on.
What?
You're gonna miss who now?
What? We're talking about the celebrity that will not be in the tournament.
Oh yeah, right, yes. We are going to miss Lisa Ann Walters because, hey, Ike Barinholtz actually won a game, and he was good, and he actually played. Yeah, I think Lisa Ann Walters is
Exactly.
Yeah, but, yes, oh, and by the way, to the quote-unquote people who complained that Wicked and Gladiator 2 were promotional categories for the movie, yeah, we know.
Yeah, it's like,
and your point is, HQ did it for what, the NBA Finals and all these movies. Can we stop?
Yes, no, please.
Can't because it's Reddit, and people on Reddit will complain if the sun is too blue or if the sun is still shining too much.
Yes, Chico, the sun is way too blue for me today.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? But the sun is also too hot on the island of Fiji. Hit the cloak. Hit the cue. So we go back to the island, and Teeny is really upset that she got blindsided with the whole soul thing.
Yeah, Genevieve really got her. I mean, Teeny got gut during Tribal Council last week.
So Genevieve had to apologize to Teeny, and supposedly they're okay for now. So we go to the reward challenge.
Well,
and
here's the thing. If I am Teeny, I go, well, you know what? If I'm not part of this, this is a problem.
She did, which is what she said.
Yep.
She realized that she's not in the wrong place at the wrong time. So we go to the reward challenge, and
it's a classic. It's slither me timbers.
Yes. Basically, you have to slither three balls up and in each random teams of three have to slither up and down a mound of sand and get the ball to the mat. Once three balls are gotten to the mat, each player had to go and roll a ball down a progressively longer ramp to have the ball land in the hole. First team to do that wins rewarded sanctuary, including wraps, sodas, you know, rice, veggies, and cake. Cookies and cream cake.
Yeah. That's later, Jay. Our teams are Genevieve, Sue, and Teeny in yellow, Andy, Caroline, and Gabe in red, Kyle, Rachel, and Sam in blue, and your winner.
And it wasn't even close either.
Nope. Kyle, Rachel, and Sam go to the sanctuary, and while at sanctuary, they talk about cutting out Gabe. Even Kyle's down for it because, you know, Gabe is going to be that guy who likes to turn on people, especially if your name's Kyle. So we have three votes for Gabe, potentially. Potentially.
Now we get to the reward challenge, and I want you to have a cue here, and I need to know if this is a dumb decision, okay? So we have the challenge where... nine players have to balance a progressively amount of balls on a paddle while balancing on a small platform. Last person to keep their balls in the air wins immunity and a spot in the final eight. Now it's time for Let's Make a Deal with Jeff Probst. He shows up Yes, but we need, okay, he says, we need to have four people stand out and you will get a bottle of a bag of rice. So no one's really wanting to leave because no one feels really safe. So eventually, through negotiation, Jeff accepts this deal. Everybody who has not fired their shot in the dark gives it up for a bag of rice. And Jeff says, sure, no problem. And he takes the shot in the dark. They get the bag of rice. Now, before we even start, was that a dumb decision by the team, or do you think that was the right call?
Dumb decision.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what you... And Chico, play that one more time for me.
Oh, how about this?
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Yeah, I bet Gabe wishes he had his shot in the dark back.
A couple of people did. But
if you're not on the in, you're on the out. And it's impossible for everybody to be on the in.
Yeah.
So, no, I would have absolutely have said no. Maybe I'm using it later on this evening, but, you know, from a social game standpoint, if you're on the in, yeah, sure. And if you wanted to do that, yeah, sure. But if you're Gabe, and you were almost kicked out the last episode.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
You need to hold on to that, because you may be using it, and he probably should have, and oops.
Yeah, exactly. So eventually it comes down to Kyle and I believe Sue. Is that right? I believe it is.
It comes down to Kyle, Sam, Sue, and Teeny. No one can stand in the way of Kyle winning for a fourth time. So not only is he a shrewd deal maker, he's a challenge beast.
Well, I'm not sure about a deal maker sort of thing. I mean, yes, he made a deal with Jeff Probst to give all that up. But Kyle, again, another person that almost left, and they're obviously targeting strength right now. And I almost sort of feel if Kyle didn't win that immunity challenge, he would have to be wishing that he had a shot in the dark, and he'd still be maybe wishing it at this point, because he is clearly not in the major group, and that could be very problematic for him.
Possibly.
It's going to be very problematic, and everyone's going, it was down to Gabe and Genevieve, really. Gabe and Genevieve, because Genevieve was the architect of the soul, and Gabe was the strong player. So what happened was is that they voted, and Gabe got the first two votes, and Genevieve said, oh my God, it's going to be me. Wrong. The rest was Gabe. Gabe gets knocked out. And again, this was the right call for them. This was the absolute...
Well, it's the right call for two things. Number one, yeah, you got rid of the right person. But number two, a couple of votes were floated in Genevieve's direction just in case Gabe had an idol. I was going to play the shot in the dark. He obviously couldn't play the shot in the dark because no one can. But if he had a hidden idol, and keep in mind there are still idols out there. Oh, hi, Sue. I mean, I'm sorry, not Sue. Hi, Rachel. Rachel's got an idol that nobody knows about.
Right. Yep.
So that the split was so it wasn't unanimous was also a very smart move.
Correct. Very smart.
Especially with two, so that there wasn't one person that could vote someone else out. So smart play.
Yeah, very smart play, and. They really did a great moment. So, Chico, why don't you just talk about the Dancing with the Stars? I'll be back in a couple of minutes. I'll be right back.
Okay, yeah. If you are Jason Block, you can get your drinks right now because we're talking about...
I'm gonna go get my Manny Petty right now.
Okay.
While I'm driving the car.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, so we're down to the final five. Chandler Kinney and Brandon Armstrong, who dance a Wicked Salsa for 29 out of 30, and a Foxtrot for 20 out of 30, for a total of 58 points. Joey Grazia Day and Jenna Johnson dance a perfect Foxtrot and a 28-point Paso Doble. Ilona Maher and Alan Burstyn, they dance a 28-point Paso Doble and a 29-point Viennese Waltz. Steven Nedorashik and Riley Arnold dance a 25-point Cha-Cha and a 28-point Tango. Gee, I wonder who the judges are marking this week. Danny Amendola and Whitney Carson are dancing a 27-point Viennese Waltz and a 27-point Salsa. Now, that's how the judges scored it. Now we go to a twist.
Another one. Okay.
Okay, stop me if you've heard this one.
Stop.
Okay. All right, just like last year, Dancing decided that they were not going to eliminate anybody.
Yay.
So, hey, we have 2 hours of Disney Plus time to fill next week. We got to fill it somehow. So, all five couples will be back on the floor next week when we crown a champion. Not that it matters, but who you got?
Well, I'm taking a look at who the final five are.
They are Chandler Kinney, Joey Grazia Day, Ilona Maher, Danny Amendola, and Steven Nedorashik. And it looks like, from the looks of things, either Chandler or Joey are your judges' darlings.
No. What happens is that it's going to be one of the Olympians. You see, because yes, it's going to be one of the Olympians. I think it's going to be Ilona Maher,
okay?
Ilona Maher, because Olympians. That's why.
I think it's going to be Joey because Bachelor Nation is going to be watching and voting.
Oh please, the Bachelor Nation doesn't care. Bachelor Nation does not care. No one cares.
That were true. I don't care. Do you care? Do you care?
No, I don't. But let's just...
I'd like to congratulate Sanjaya Malakar for winning this season of Dancing with the Stars.
Right, exactly. Now, let's actually give some real news. And this is actually huge news in the broadcast world.
Yeah, in fact, I need to play a thing for this, don't I?
Yeah, you do.
That's a borrow it from the BS board.
Yeah. So, Comcast Universal, which is the home of the NBC networks, are actually splitting the networks up into their own company called, ironically enough, SpinCo. Okay?
Yes.
And that includes networks like USA, Bravo, MSNBC, Sci-Fi, E! Entertainment, what else?
Golf Channel, CNBC, MSNBC, Oxygen, and of course, Digital Assets, Fandango, and Rotten Tomatoes, Golf Now, and Sports Engine. This is going to be a tax-free spinoff. And what happens is they're going to basically feed content into the Comcast NBC Universal sort of body, sort of what Viacom and CBS did back in the day before they made the merge official.
Mm-hmm. But what I'm thinking, Gordon, is that remember all the major entertainment companies are still bleeding money like stuck pig. Okay, they are. And none of these networks are profitable, especially networks like MSNBC. So I'm wondering if the networks are going to change, the content is going to change. What is your take on this? Because you're the...
Well, the problem is that they used the wrong word. They used spin. What they really should have used is right. Not R-I-G-H-T, W-R-I-T-E, as in right off.
Yeah. This is basically...
Because all of these things that you're getting aren't pulling in the numbers and aren't pulling in the readings. If you notice, Bravo is still very much with NBC. There's a reason for it. There's still original content that shows up on Bravo. There's still this Top Chef that shows up on Bravo. There's still maybe this little clothing fashion competition thing that may eventually return to Bravo. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Yep.
Not official. Maybe.
Okay. I have the
well, my point, you want me to answer the question, do you not?
Oh, please.
My point is this. They are getting rid of the things that are causing them to bleed money and hemorrhage them dry. And what they're doing instead is trying to prop them up with content. If they are smart, it's going to be not well-known content that they maybe can get a couple of bucks out of, or maybe strike lightning in a bottle. Like Suits, for argument's sake, is what they did with that when Suits was in the resurrection of Suits.
Yeah, Suits LA, by the way, is coming next year, so... That's going to be on NBC proper. So.
Right.
All right, so I have the corporate here from Brian Roberts, chairman and CEO of Comcast. When you look at our assets, talented management team, and balance sheet strength, we are able to set these businesses up for future growth. With significant financial resources from day one, SpinCo will be ideally positioned for success and highly attractive to investors, content creators, distributors, and potential partners.
And by the way, do not be surprised if SpinCo becomes its own subscription app.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised at all. And that's basically what they're trying to do. And right. With the addition of Rotten Tomatoes and Fandango in there, they're trying to give people a reason to use it and maybe trying to shift it from free service to not so free service.
Correct.
Which I don't necessarily think that is a fantastic idea, but you know what? Making money is better than hemorrhaging it.
Yeah.
Correct.
So that
oh,
is...
Oh, maybe?
Yeah. That, yeah. And staying with NBC, it looks like the sports division, the news division, Bravo... By the way, they all feed into Peacock, which is also staying with NBC. Telemundo, the theme parks, and the film and television studios. This sounds awfully familiar. Like they're taking this from Disney or something.
Well, here's the interesting thing with this. Okay. The fact that there's... Because I always thought Peacock was sort of a joke, but with the WWE content and with the NBC content, they're really positioning Peacock as a top-tier streaming service.
Until the WWE moves to Netflix.
WWE is not moving to Netflix just yet.
But they are.
Suffice it to say, we will be keeping an eye on this story. Another thing that we'll be keeping an eye on in 2025, Hollywood Squares.
Ah, yes.
And we have more info. We have videos. We have photos. We have a list of stars. It's all going to be fun. It's all going to be a good time. And I'll tell you right now, I don't know if you guys have seen the set, but it looks kind of... If you look at the sets for, like, Celebrity Squares and Hip Hop Squares and Nashville Squares and everything else at CBS...
No, forget that. Forget that, really.
That.
Because what they did was, if you looked at the set, it's a sort of a modern version of the original 1960s set.
It is. And it's about the same size, too. About the same size as the original... 60s, 70s era set.
Right, and with an Art Deco twist, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, I told you, I totally know what you mean. Sort of a modern retro, lots of curves, lots of gold accents. It's all very, very delicious.
And we saw a clip with Nate Burleson. He looked okay, doing what he was doing. We saw a clip with Tiffany Haddish. And name some of the people who are going to be on Hollywood Squares.
Right, so some of the people that are already lined up for Hollywood Squares are Tyra Banks, Julie Bowen, Yvette Nicole Brown, Whitney Cummings, Akbar Kabajabia Mila, Tiffany Haddish, Oliver Hudson, Pete Holmes, Gabrielle Iglesias, Joe Coy, Jay Leno, Justin Long, Kevin Nealon, RuPaul, Andrew Rannells, Kristen Schaal, Triumph the Insult Comic Dog, Cheryl Underwood, and Jimmy O. Yang. They don't mention it in the presser, but you can also add Thomas Lennon and Miss Pat.
I will.
People that haven't been doing anything for a while, with the exception of RuPaul, who's been doing everything for a while, but people that really sort of would like a gig that haven't done much of anything, and hey, we're available.
Yeah. Right. Well, Miss Pat settles it on a BET, so she's good.
What I was also about to say was that this will probably be like Pyramid, 2 half-hour games, and that makes
well,
sense.
Like
right?
Pyramid and Match Game and every other dual-edged show. But here's the thing about Hollywood Squares. This, more than anything, will hit or miss having nothing to do with the stars and having everything to do with the writing.
Yes.
Yep.
The writing has got to be crisp. The stars, I mean, obviously you need good acting stars in there. The delivery has got to be good. But this, more than anything else, and you can tell the difference in the itineraries because some of them were really good and some of them weren't.
I'll tell you right now.
And they need the good ones. I don't think I have to deal with the ones that are or aren't. It's just a matter of whether or not they can do what they're supposed to be doing.
I'll tell you right now, from 1968 to 2002, they had some really key writing. So, let's just say the writer...
Well, they had, Chico, they had key writing, I agree with you there, but they also had the really good center square. And for my money, yeah, Whoopi was good. Yeah, Joan was good. Yeah, other people in center squares was good. But no one, and I mean no one, could pull off a zinger in the delivery like Paul Lynde.
Oh, no argument here. Paul Lynde is the king.
Yeah, by the way, to the point.
So can any of these people in the center, so Chico and Jay, let me ask a question. Based on what you have just announced, can any of those people be anywhere close to Paul Lynde? I'm not going to say better because that's going to be an impossible pedestal for anybody to climb. But name two or three people on there that you think should be a center square and that could hold their own.
Well, that
I'll do that, actually. First of all, number one, the executive producer, Drew Barrymore, who will be in the center square. Okay? All right? That's one. Two, RuPaul, without flexing. Okay? And the other one, I'll throw Jay Leno in there. He's still got it. We'll see.
I'm gonna throw Fluffy in there, along with RuPaul, because Gabrielle Iglesias, he's got chops. He's got chops.
All right, Chico, you've got the full list of names, right?
Yes.
I'm gonna be haterade. You're gonna quickly rifle them, and I'm just gonna give you a quick yes and no.
Okay. Tyra Banks.
And Jay, you can play along with me. Yes.
Julie
Bell. What? That could that what? Sorry. What do you mean by what are you saying?
Tyra Banks would be a very good center square.
Oh, good center square?
Okay.
As a reminder, Drew Barrymore is already lined up to be the center square. We're just judging on people who can roll with that. Yvette Nicole Brown.
No.
No.
Whitney Cummings.
Nope.
Akbar Kabajabia Mila.
No.
Nope.
Tiffany Haddish.
Yes.
If she's got good writing, she does have delivery chops. I will agree with you. Yes.
Oliver Hudson.
No.
No.
Pete Holmes.
No.
No.
Gabriel Iglesias.
Yes. Yes. And yes.
If we're playing this, that, or the other, he gets a that. I think he's got the potential. He's definitely a comic. He definitely has chops. I don't know about the delivery. Because the delivery isn't just a comedic delivery. You've gotta be able to shape it and make it your own. And that's not just being loud. Sometimes subtle nuance is a thing. And again, Paul Lynn was the master of that. So maybe?
Maybe? Joe Coy.
No.
Yeah.
Thomas Lennon.
Definitely not.
Nope.
Jay Leno.
I think he could. My question is he too polarizing? So he goes through a maybe ball for me.
Justin Long.
No.
Nope.
Miss Pat. I'm going to say definitely. You ever see Miss Pat settles it? She gets down. She gets down.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be why I would say no. Because you've got to deliver the punchline. You've got to be the conduit. You don't necessarily have to be the star.
Okay, Kevin Nealon.
Too dry. No.
Jeff Ross.
Maybe.
Maybe? I think I would put him and Triumph in the exact same category. Oh, they could be really good, but my issue is they may be a little bit too self-indulgent for what that role needs to be.
Yeah. RuPaul.
Yes.
Yes.
Andrew Rannells.
Oh.
No.
He played Kevin on the original Broadway cast of The Book of Mormon.
No.
Okay. Kristen Schaal.
No.
Triumph the Insult Comic Dog.
See what we said about the other one.
Yeah. Him and Jeff Ross will share a hotel room.
Cheryl.
Sorry, next? No.
Jimmy O. Yang.
Cheryl Underwood is the perfect corner. Perfect corner, give her some booze, she'll be fine. Watch her on Match Game. I mean, that's...
That's why I was there.
She's not terrible. She's pretty funny. I just don't think she can carry Hollywood Squares. Yang, definitely not. No.
All right, so there's what we have. Unfortunately, we need to move on to some sad news. And Chico, you have it.
I do have it. And if you are like me, Jason, and Gordon, old enough to remember the summer of 1990, we had a very special Jeopardy event on Saturday night. Paired up with Monopoly, we had the Super Jeopardy $250,000 championship. And I'll tell you right now, that was the most money given out in Jeopardy history up to that point. It went to one guy at the end, Bruce Seymour. He won a total off of Jeopardy, $305,989.
Which doesn't stink.
No, it does not stink. If somebody can do a calculation of how much of that is in 2024 money. But yeah, Bruce Seymour passed away back in September following a 7-week battle with COVID. He was described to be in excellent health prior to his infection. And he was on the show in 1987. He won 4 games, later returned for the 88 Tournament of Champions, losing in the quarters, but appeared again in Super Jeopardy in 1990 to win $250,000, bringing his total to $305,989. Do we have a total yet?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
In that case, don't worry about it.
No, I'll get it. Just go on.
This is one of those moments where you look at all of the money and you look at what he did with it, and it is genuinely one of the most awesome things you could
possibly. By the way, he won $305,989.
I said that.
Okay.
Okay. So he used that prize money to research his interest in the life of 19th century stage performer Lola Montez. He, after what has to be the deepest of dives in the early to mid-1990s, he published a book Lola Montez a life in 1996. And this...
And it's on Amazon as we speak.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And this was, I want to say, before, this was after stints in law school, after a stint in the Air Force, and after traveling the world, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's very sad. Unfortunately, people pass on the way that they do. But what an amazing player. And yeah, that would be somebody that I would have been real interested to see if he did get a team going on Pop Culture Jeopardy. You know, you're talking about one of the best. You're talking about one of the best in his era.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And why was he not invited to the Battle of the Decade? I'm surprised at that.
I don't know. I don't know. I know that in 2007, he was, you know what? He moved on to the Peace Corps in 2007. So he would have been with the Peace Corps until he was medically discharged with cataracts. And he worked, and this is probably explains why he wasn't invited. He worked as an attorney for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services until he retired, and then he continued traveling the world.
Yes, and he died from complications of COVID. He had this week. So a moment of silence, please.
Thank you.
And by the way, I did the calculation. In 2024 money, that would be just shy of $750,000.
Okay.
That's it.
Yeah, but speaking of this type of money, tonight we had a $1 million moment on LG Home for the Holidays Week on Wheel of Fortune. Damon is playing for the big money, and he's won over $29,000 so far. And this clip, courtesy of CBS and Sony Pictures Television. Ryan, take it away.
I feel good. I feel good. You know, I'm just ready to see what we can do and attack the big board.
All
Let's
right,
go.
Slide it in there. Okay. Put it right there. Give this wheel a very good spin. $1 million is on the wheel tonight. We've replaced $100,000 with that $1 million envelope. Where will it land? Is that the million? Let's find out. It's the S. Okay. My heart's pounding. You chose, what are you wearing? RSTLNE. We got that for you. Then it's all you. So,
by the way,
three more consonants and one vowel.
I had it here. And what? And let's just see that Damon had it too. Continue.
G M W.
And the vowel?
He has it.
O.
Here we go. Vanna, what's up there? Wow. Pretty incredible. Okay, audience, hold on for a second. What are you wearing as the category? You have 10 seconds. Good luck, Damon.
Glamorous gown.
That's it. Let's see what the envelope is.
I take it.
$40,000. Well, congratulations.
Damon likes good when life's green with $40,000.
So, Damon, it's a grand total of $69,290.
Hey, now, it's not the million, but money's money, right?
And he was only four spots away, by the way.
Yep.
He was only.
So, yeah, over $69,000.
Woohoo!
For Damon. Nice.
That's nice. That's a lot of fun. Congratulations. Getting closer and closer to that $1 million moment. Maybe he'll get it now. I mean, it is November sweeps. I sort of did sort of kind of predict that we were going to be seeing one of these things during November sweeps.
Yeah, and Ryan's been, you know, chopping. You could tell Ryan was chopping at the bit. He has $1 million. $1 million is in his grasp. He really wants to give it to him. But you know what? 40,000 is not bad.
Yeah, it almost sounded like one of those NFL History Channel announcements on Wheel of Fortune. I was expecting to hear some of that NFL music. Dun 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 dun. He got the glamorous gown. Dun 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 dun. Let's see what's in the envelope. Dun 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 dun. And it's $45,000, not the million, but a successful run as we end this episode of Wheel of Fortune. Dun 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 dun.
Steve Sable, ladies and gentlemen. No. But congratulations, Damon Sales, Plano, Texas. You are him. So we're going
yes.
to wrap this one up. And still to come, we have four premieres to talk about as Sweep starts to wind down. But first, it's all the news you didn't even know you need to know with Gordon Pepper, Jason Block. My name is Chico Alexander, 6 a.m. with 5 and 1. You're home for We Love to Interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 different times that Ryan Seacrest sounded a little bit too much double entendre for my liking on that Wheel of Fortune clip. For example, let's slide it in. Bennett, I'm excited. I'm in trouble, aren't I, Chico?
Oh, if you weren't in trouble before, what's stopping you now? Anyway.
Well, that's true.
Okay.
Good point, Chico. Good point.
As we take this break, we'll be right back here on 5 and 1.
Let's slide it in.
Meet Norm. He lives with anxiety, but with the help of this latest innovation from Be Normal, he can be normal, just like everyone else. With the swipe of a finger, you can project happiness, confidence, machismo. Why settle for being real when you can be normal? The Normal Maker. New from Be Normal.
This item doesn't really work because there's no such thing as normal. We're all different. What we like, how our brains work. In fact, 1 in 5 of us live with mental illness. Don't filter who you are. Start by talking to someone you trust. And remember, there is...
From the producers of Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson, it's now Jake Paul versus Old Man Periwinkle. Jake Paul lines up his next elderly opponent, a 103-year-old man from the Shady Pines Rest Home. Hey, Jake Paul, I'm going to kick your blank. Hopefully the streaming will go out for this one.
Oh.
So. Did you guys hear that?
I did. I might have heard it out, but it was buffering on this end, you see. See what I did there, kids?
I see what you did. Hey, Gordon, can you help us out?
Roll that beautiful green footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Duck Morris. As always, you can follow Duck Morris on all social media at Duck Morris Games, at Rock 104 Rock Tracks, and at Tracks Productions. That includes Blue Sky, folks. Duck Morris is on Blue Sky. And also in the sky, or I guess on the air, is Duck Morris every Sunday when he hosts Rock Tracks with Duck Morris on Rock 104 WXRR Hattiesburg 104.5 on your FM dial, and of course all over the
multiverse
on rock104fm.com, the Odyssey app, and the Rock 104 app.
And by the way, your bats are shaped like Cletus and the peacock.
Aha! Nice.
Indeed.
It's business. It's business.
All right, so we have more winter / spring schedules being released. First of all, it is NBC. They are bringing back Deal or No Deal Island in January. They are also bringing back The Voice in February with coaches Kelsey Ballerini, Michael Bublé, John Legend, and returning coach Adam Levine.
Ooh, so everyone is going. The coaches right now.
I guess it's going to be sort of like a fall team of coaches and a spring team of coaches, sort of like a fall league and a spring league. Who knows?
Yes, but everyone's going to go, oh, Adam Levine is back. Isn't it already taped, or at least part of it is?
I think part of it is already taped, but then again, I may be wrong. They may tape it right after they get the finale of the current season. Because the current season is still going.
Current season is in full swing.
Yes.
With
Coach Reba McEntire, who, by the way, got a full season order of Happy's Place as we record this on part two on a Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Full disclosure, part one was recorded yesterday. Part two is recorded today.
Yes. And now let's go to Cletus on Fox. What do we got?
Oh, yeah. This is the big one. Okay. So we already have, just to let you know, Special Forces World's Toughest Test is scheduled for January 8th. Season 13 of The Masked Singer will debut on February 12th. The Next Level Chef, Season 4, will be on February 13th. But the big story, that is the big story, airing out of Super Bowl 59, I have to do my Roman numerals math there. It was supposed to be Rescue High Surf, but they have opted to move that to the following Monday, and now airing out of the Super Bowl, The Floor, Season 3.
The season premiere?
Correct.
Ow.
Yeah. Turns out, if you put 100 people on a plexiglass floor and have them compete in quiz battles Risk style, you get eyeballs on a Wednesday.
And by the way, just again, full disclosure, we know people who work on the floor. Congratulations to the team for getting that big kick.
Yes.
Yay!
We know people behind the scenes. We know people who are actively playing. We don't know Rob Lowe, though.
No, we don't. But we have a very, as the holidays are coming, our date books are getting lighter and lighter. This was a text message, actually. We only have four things. This tonight was the season premiere of the Great American Baking Show Celebrity Holiday Edition.
Also, we have a premiere of a new series on Max, which we're going to review on our next show. It is called, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Human versus Hamster.
What? No.
Yes, it's on Max.
I know what it is. I've seen it. It's Comcast and it's brought to you from Magnolia. The same Magnolia group that has also done the roller skating competition that's currently on the air.
So, yeah, we're going to watch it over the weekend and then come back with our review on the next show.
Yes. Good grief.
Jay wants to be a hamster.
I am Hamtaro. So we still have, okay, we keep the Hamtaro shredder basket for our NCAA brackets every year. It's in good condition. Well,
Chico, I'd like to point out something. Because G is a Republican, he's already a lemming, so why not be a hamster also?
Because hamsters are cute. Lemmings, well, you've played
lemmings. Lemmings are cute too.
Have you ever played lemmings?
I have. They're wonderful. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Right. Okay. Saturday is the season finale of Have I Got News For You.
Mitch, by the way, breaking news story. It's official. Another season is coming.
Okay. Good, I think. All right.
Say everybody got skewered this season, so we're going to have a season where everybody gets skewered.
Tuesday is the season finale of Love Village, and Wednesday is the season finale of Forged in Fire. But let's talk about that after. Now, if you are a philatelist, and no, I'm not, that's not a insult, you have already collected the Alex Trebek Jeopardy stamps that have already been out. But now you're going to actually get another one, and this one's even better, Chico, isn't it?
Yes, it is. From the people who brought you the Alex Trebek stamp comes the Betty White stamp. That's right, Betty White, the first person to ever, the first female to ever win a Daytime Emmy for Outstanding Game Show Host. She is getting her own stamp in 2025. Of course, she's mostly known for being in a Miami townhouse with B. Arthur, Rue McClanahan, and Estelle Getty. But, you know, we claim her. Just so y'all know.
Yes, but something cool is coming back post-COVID, actually.
Yes, 5 years after the last round in 2019. I have a post here from one Leanne Whitlock. Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water, we are so excited to announce the resurrection of Trivia Nationals. I hope you will join us for a fun and challenging weekend of all things quiz. We are bringing back all your old favorite events from the before times and adding some new ones to boot, all to take place over 3 days at a gorgeous hotel in New Orleans.
That's nice.
Hope you can
tell. You know, you know what? I hope it's a success. I really do. We need another national trivia competition along with Sporkle.
Yep. Sporklecon. As we record this, we are 182 days away.
Memorial Day weekend 2025. Yes.
So save up your nickels, kids.
Yes, and that is, well, very smart.
The smartest.
This, however, not so smart.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
By the way, I'm off the air. I'm going to ask the sources of the first and the last part of those clips because I think it's kind of cool. But anyway, we all talked about the Tyson Paul fight. And we also talked about the fact that there were streaming issues. Well, because we are a litigious people, Netflix is getting sued for the lack of internet connectivity, so to speak.
I have the details from TMZ Sports. Court documents show that Ronald Lou Denton filed the suit in Florida on Monday, just 3 days after he says he and thousands of others struggled to watch Netflix's broadcast of El Gallo's big win over Iron Mike. As soon as he and others tuned into the broadcast at around 8 p.m. Eastern time on Friday, they, and now I'm quoting, were faced with legendary problems, including no access, streaming glitches, and buffering issues, end quote. Even Barstool Sports honcho Dave Portnoy posted
not
a video.
By the way, not exactly the greatest human on the planet, by
he
any stretch.
He is rubbish.
Yes, but go on.
The opinions of Jason Block and Chico Alexander are not representative of the rest of WLTI, and please don't sue them.
Right, exactly. Go on.
He posted on X, formerly known as Twitter, things are going bad to worse, followed by a video where we have the internet buffering as it arrives to the Netflix server.
Mm-hmm.
So Denton is suing Netflix for breach of contract, among other things, and he's asking for unspecified damages. Netflix officials stated, "We don't want to dismiss the poor experience of some members, and no, we have room for improvement, but still consider this event a huge success."
Okay.
Whatever gets you to bed at night, Netflix.
Well, that's okay. But we have a 100-ounce jug of Haterade coming out right now.
This is Haterade!
Okay. That was bad before, Jason.
Yeah.
Please.
Okay. So, all right. Well, here's the first part. We need zombies.
Brains!
We have, by the way, we have not had a zombie in a long time. Okay? So, the show Lucky 13, which was produced by Shaquille O'Neal, Gina Rodriguez, and others, including, well, you know, it has been canceled for season two. Even though it did very well in the ratings, correct, Chico? It did very well.
It's respectable.
It won its time slot from beginning to end. As much as we did not necessarily think the show was completed, it won its time slot. So it should get there. However, what follows is one of the worst business plan proposals that you can probably arguably go back to Pitfall, if you remember that. To find something that was more horrific than their business model. So, Jason, take it away.
All right. So, according to Deadline, I'm going to try and set it in a timeline. Okay. The reason why it wasn't renewed, because Studio One pre-funded, the producer of the show, pre-funded Lucky 13 in a share of ABC's advertising and product placement sales. But revenue fell short.
Wait. Before you go on, what does pre-funding mean?
That means that they fronted the cash for the show. Correct? Does that make sense?
Correct.
Okay.
So basically, in English, in layman's terms, the Studio One has said, we are so confident that this is going to be a success because of Shaquille O'Neal that we don't want your stinking money. We are going to put up all the money for ourselves, but in exchange, we want to bulk the revenue coming in from the advertising dollars.
Correct.
Allegedly. Again, this is based on the article. We don't really know if that's exactly what they said, but from that standpoint, that's beyond insane for you to not take someone's money for you to get it on the air. That is an extraordinary risk, especially in this day and age where there's this thing called, streaming, and you're doing this during the summer, where the numbers are traditionally low to begin with? Huh? All right, JP, continue.
Well, by the way, okay, you could play that Dumb Decisions clip again if you wanted to.
JP could do it.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Okay, continuing from the article, Studio One is now being chased for the unpaid cash after effectively going bankrupt. Okay?
So before we continue, go back a sentence or two because I cut you off.
Okay.
Now, it was talking about the money that they're going to be getting off the advertising. So, in that part of the story, Jay, what happened?
Revenue fell well short of projection.
Which means the money that they thought they had to pay people, they don't have to pay people.
Correct. Right on. That's right. And an ABC source says that they're working to ensure that O'Neill and Rodriguez, who were producers, got paid. Okay? Contractors out of pocket include Funicular Goats, who worked on projects such as LTC, Elton John Live, and UK production management firm Nest Productions. Others impacted, including Kit Firm, Lunar Remote Systems, and Sweet, a post-production company, all declined to comment. Two sources told Deadline that the money could be closer to $1 million, although that was downplayed by other people with or others familiar with the matter. Either way, contractors have been chasing payment for months. The series wrapped in June, and contractors would expect to be paid within 30 days. It's a nightmare, said the founder of one company impacted by the issue. We've been strung along quite a bit by the producers. They were told over the past couple of months that payment was coming and they were picked up for season two. The story that we got was one of the financiers dropped out and they were reconnecting with a new source of financing. Sources say Studio One pulled together a number of financiers for Lucky 13. A person who worked on the show said it was an audacious gamble that has not worked out for Studio One, which was founded by the team who developed Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Lucky 13 Holdings and Studio 13 Entertainment, the special purpose companies Studio One set up to house Lucky 13, are subject to an administration process in the UK as creditors chase their debts. UK accountancy company Menzies is overseeing the administration. Menzies says it was too early to comment on the process. Studio One again declined to comment. Now here, okay, here's the big one, all right? There are also concerns...
Chico, get ready. Chico, I'm going to give you the cue on this. Get ready. Don't hit it yet, Jay.
There are also concerns that Lucky 13 contestants could face a prolonged wait for their winnings among the issues. Participants cumulatively won hundreds of thousands of dollars but were not due to be paid until 120 days after recording. ABC and Studio One are said to be confident cash prize will be all honored.
Even the fact that they're bringing this up, Chico, cue it.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
And by the way, you're absolutely right. This is as bad as Pitfall. Now, for those youngins who don't know what Pitfall is, Gordon, explain this one, because this is one of the biggest...
Tell us, Grandpa Block, tell us.
All right, youngins, here's the story. And I believe it was 1980, if I remember the year right, Alex Trebek hosted a show called Pitfall, which was done by the company called Catalina Productions, if I remember my history right. And they went under bankruptcy to the point where players didn't get paid their prizes, and Alex Trebek never got paid. And eventually when the check came, didn't he either tear it up or did he frame it and put it on the wall?
He framed it because, again, this was the first job he ever got where he remembers that he got stiffed.
Right.
And then came Jeopardy and, you know, what happens there.
Correct. And, but yeah, Gordon, this is bad. This is bad. This is awful.
Well, you know, my heart goes out. Like, I'm trying to figure out who exactly got paid with the revenue. Of course, the article doesn't say anything. But I feel bad for the people that I know that worked on the show. I feel bad for the producers, the EPs. I especially feel bad for anybody that did not get paid, including the talent. And obviously, I really feel bad for the contestants. They may not be seeing money, and for them could be life-changing or life-bailing out sums of money that now they may not be getting. Expect the lawsuits to come if Studio One doesn't cough up, and expect ABC to be named as one of the defendants.
Right, exactly. I agree. Yeah, this is, you know, honestly, you know, and I mean this, you know, I was thinking of like worst game show moment of the year. This is it. This is absolutely it. Okay.
That, by the way, we are planning best and worst of everything as we speak. Coming the.
I have my first worst reality. Dad.
Yeah, I was gonna say this may be on some of our lists.
Indeed, but where are we sending Jake Paul, Mike Tyson, and everybody involved with that unlucky 13 mess?
Okay, we're going to Korea by way of France.
Let's do it.
All right, so it's official. Another season is coming, as Netflix likes to say, Physical 100. And for season 3, they are venturing out of their native South Korea and looking for the most ideal physique in all of Asia.
Ooh, okay.
About Koreans, Malaysians, Thailand, India, Japan, all
okay.
of
Okay. Alright. And then?
And then we have another version of Love is Blind coming to the country that, for my money, invented love, France.
Eros on line 1, Sappho on line 2. Anyway, so maybe we're going to get some Asian and European media pros.
I got pros. In different area codes.
I have a breaking media pro report. Jelly Roll is teaming up with Post Malone for the 2025 Big Ass Stadium Tour. That's going to be fun. That's going to be a good ticket. Oh, wow. That'll be fun.
That sounds like it's going to be a riot. Elsewhere in the media pros, Jaleel White recalls the day he switched from hitched up jeans on Family Matters to proper fitting khakis because...
Puberty,
yeah.
Puberty. The Rock debuts Red 1 and also Moana 2 over the next week or two.
By the way, we have pictures of him as Maui in the live-action Moana.
Correct.
Julianne Hough and speaking of Disney, Julianne Hough and Alfonso Ribeiro will host Wonderful World of Disney Holiday Spectacular while Julianne is looking for love.
Yay.
Joan Bassos is strangely chill about easing on down the aisle, saying she is not in a hurry to get married.
Nikki Garcia and her ex-husband, Artem, settled their divorce.
Mm-hmm.
Settled their divorce somewhat amicably, I believe.
Okay. Beast Games finally has a date. Okay, so we're doing this. December 19th is the date for that.
Mm-hmm. Holiday Burnout? Yipe. Okay.
Moore Ilderton is the second player to leave The Voice this season. Terry Crews sides with CAA. Jay Leno gets injured, hitting his head on a rock.
Oof. Yipe.
I found a rock.
Valerie Bertinelli.
If you know, you know. Next.
I know. Valerie Bertinelli has a panic attack. Rose Battifeo, host of Junior Taskmaster, will headline a special for Max. Sundance Head is recovering after shooting himself in the stomach.
Ouch. Oh, by the way, former Wild and Out star Matt Rife announces his 2025 Golden Tour with newly blonde head.
Ooh.
Yes.
Carrie Underwood brings her Reflection concert to Hulu. Davina McCall is recovering after brain tumor surgery. Amber and Vinny from The Amazing Race. They finally get married.
Oh, wow.
Yay.
Okay.
We have, as runner-ups for the Media Pro of the Week, Olympic swimming gold medalist Nathan Adrian, actor Stephen Baldwin, pro surfer and model Alana Blanchard, pro soccer player Landon Donovan, motocross champion Kerry Hart, TV personality and DJ Brody Jenner, Olympic track and field athlete Marion Jones, Tar Heel in the house, influencer and former bachelorette Ali Mano, Benatowski, NFL pro bowler Cam Newton, influencer and model Kayla Nicole, actress Kyla Pratt, actress Denise Richards, actress and podcaster Christy Carlson Romano, original bachelorette Trista Sutter, Super Bowl champion Golden Tate, and Olympic gymnast gold medalist Jordan Weber.
I know who they are.
None of them in my kitchen.
No, but they are your latest inductees into the Special Forces World's Strongest Test Army. Correct?
Correct.
So who are your media pros of the week, or one?
The one media pro of the week could very well be my boss. As you all know, I am a clinical laboratory supervisor. That is my job title. So we are beholden to the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, and President-elect Donald Trump has nominated, because reasons, Dr. Oz to head that office.
And we can talk about it because Jeopardy host.
Yeah, he wasn't good at that either.
No, well, oh, shit.
Thank you. Chico will be here all week. Chip the veal, try the waitress.
These are the jokes, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, Gordon, get us out of here.
And those are your pros.
Okay, Jay, you know where the button is.
I got your button for you right here. Go for it.
Okay. All right, so Brain Vision is over. Coming up next, four shows premiered over the last week. We are going to review all of them. Two of them involve Buddy Valastro.
All right.
Just a little forward to. It's WLTI. We'll be right back. WLTI is brought to you by Finding Mr. Thanksgiving. Crucial tests in this search for the person most suited for Thanksgiving include cooking a Thanksgiving dinner, making a Thanksgiving sandwich out of the leftovers, getting up early for Black Friday sales, and of course, turning on the Cowboys and Giants and falling asleep in front of it.
Oh my god, that's right. The Cowboys. Oh god.
That is Finding Mr. Thanksgiving. That's somebody on Hallmark host. Somebody who is not.
Chico, you didn't tell us that was a horror show up there, Chico.
that was. Yes, Finding Mr. Thanksgiving. Excuse me. Anyone seen you at Ross Thanksgiving?
Right here.
Yes, I'd rather watch that than anything else.
Well, how about these four shows we're about to review? And we're going to start with one of the most highly anticipated ones. And this is Harry Potter Wizards of Bacon. It's hosted by the actors who played Ron and, I forgot the other.
Fred and George Weasley. Fred, they're the actors. They are basic. They are the twins. The Phelps twins. James and Oliver Phelps. There we go. Thank you, Brian.
Right. And it was shot on the Harry Potter studio. But you know what? Here's the interesting thing about this. You notice we've had two shows already about Harry Potter. The one with Helen Mirren. I forget the name of that show.
Yeah.
Okay. And this one. Here's why this show works. It does not take the source material and throw it in the trash. It is a love letter to the source material, and that's why the show works. It does not hurt it. That's the point.
Okay, by the way, I have the prize of Wizards of Baking is the Wizards of Baking cup and a spot in a new Harry Potter cookbook.
Okay.
And we have teams of two partnering up, as they're going to go from strangers to wizards, and they're competing in a bunch of Harry Potter themed baking challenges under the watchful eye of one Carla Hall, who seemingly judges everything on Food Network, and
correct,
and British chef Joseph Youssef, who, and this is probably no accident, looks absolutely nothing like Daniel Radcliffe.
Go ahead.
Or maybe he does, if you look very hard. But yeah, if you look very hard, he kind of looks like Daniel Radcliffe. But yeah, this is a challenge type show. We have two rounds, an elimination after the second round, and one person will be left to hoist the cup and get their name in the Harry Potter cookbook.
Mm-hmm. And that for each, so you're going to have six recipes in the Harry Potter cookbook.
Correct.
Much. Okay. Gordon, did you like or not like this?
I did like it. To be honest, it didn't. It took it so seriously enough, and without being over the top. And the other thing is that they got the contestants to play along. Like, they are all Harry Potter fans. I did like that it was a little bit inside baseball. I did like the vernacular. I thought it was cute. It was cute. It was likable. And the chefs knew what they were doing for the most part. I'm not thrilled about some of the rules and some of how the format is. But yeah, it wasn't harmful. I didn't feel like turning into a Sirius Snape. Or he shall not be named. Yeah. So I was okay with it. It's almost fun.
Okay.
If I liked it, I saw the first couple of episodes, I will gladly see more. B.
Okay.
I'll sit through the whole season of this. B.
Okay. If you take away the hosts, which, by the way, are very good, James and Oliver Phelps are very good.
Yes, hosts are very good also. Yeah, let me add that in there, too.
Take away some of that. Take away the Harry Potter mythos, which I have to imagine that Warner Brothers Discovery is paying heavily into. And it's just another creative cake competition. And frankly, it was just sort of, you know, take away the Harry Potterness, and it's sort of messy.
Yes, but that's why it was good, is you had the Harry Potter in there. You're just not a Harry Potter lover. You're just a nurple.
Did you just call me a nurple?
I called you a nurple.
Jay, what do you think?
No, I agree with Gordon. It does exactly what it's supposed to do without being, you know, too, oh, you know, it's good. B, what do you got?
I told you, I got a C.
Okay.
The Nurple gave it a C. What's next?
Okay, Buddy Velastro, show number one, Cake Toppers.
Yes, Cake Toppers has two pairs of cake decorators. Creates cake sculptures based around a theme. And then in the second round, they have to swap those cakes and literally top each other's designs. Think of it as, can you top this, but with cakes?
Okay, and what's the prize?
The prize is, I believe, 10 G's for the
10
player.
G's?
Yes.
Well, here's the problem with this. This is the Xerox fumes were very high on this. Nothing original. Buddy Velastro has worn on me. Not very good.
I'm going to disagree slightly. I thought there was some originality in this. I did like the cage topper thing where you get the other person singing and try to do better on that. I did like that. I thought it was clever. Does it save the show? No, because what I do agree with on Jason Block is Buddy Velastro is, this time around, just there. You either like him or you don't. He was, for me, his dog, but, you know, not nearly as good as the other hosts that we're going to be talking about in the other shows.
Yeah, I like to agree with both of you. He is good as a host and a judge, but it seems like I like the actual sort of show where you take what your opponent's doing and try and improve, drastically transform, if you will. And it's easy to follow along as well. So, yeah, I am. I like this a little bit better than Harry Potter. I'm going to give it a B minus.
Oh, no, this is a C minus. This is not good. Not good for me.
I'm gonna go up the middle on this. I'm gonna go C plus. I think the elements are there. It's not offensive. Would I watch this? Yeah. Would I watch this if there's other things that were on? Maybe. You know, it depends on what's on after it. There's other shows that are worse than this, but this is not B on the top of my list.
No,
but it's not awful. C plus.
Yeah, okay. Now we're on to Buddy Velastro show number two. Cupcake. Cake.
Yeah, it's a show that features the three best desserts known to man. Cookies! Cupcakes! Cake! Okay.
I like pie, too. I prefer pie. Pumpkin pie.
Pie is fine, too, but that isn't really Buddy Velastro's forte. So we have three pro baker duos who are baking an entire dessert menu, and the last duo standing wins $10,000. It is done in three rounds. The first round, cookies. Second round, cupcakes. And the third round, cake. 45 minutes for the first round, 90 for the second, and 180 for the third, and they all circle around a theme. Buddy Velastro host and judging alongside him is cookbook author Samantha Senavaratne.
Okay, here's where your Xerox fumes really come into play.
Oh, but yes.
Seen this before. We've seen it done better. And if you didn't like Buddy Velastro the first time around, you're not going to like him this time around.
Yeah, I remember this show back when it was called Sugar Rush and Hunter March was hosting it for Netflix.
And it was a lot better, too.
It was a lot better.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing offensive with this. If you like Buddy Velastro, this will pass your time. If you're like Jason, we'll probably give this a C minus or a D or a D plus. You're not gonna like it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, C minus. Exactly. You're right.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm gonna do the exact same thing that I did the first time around with the first Buddy Velastro show. If you like it, this is fine, fun, fair. If you're looking for something new and original and unique, this ain't it. C plus.
I'm gonna go up the middle and give it a C. Again, we've seen it done before. We've seen it done better. Buddy Velastro actually did a similar show for Food Network back in the day. Off the top of my head, I don't remember the name of it, but it was indeed identical to this show.
I could Google his Wikipedia and check it out if you really care.
No.
Okay. Now, the final one, and oh my God, this is awful. Wishlist games on Amazon.
Okay, you know what? Is this a wheel game, as demonstrated by shows like Minute to Win It, The Price is Right, Let's Make a Deal, where you have a whole lot of games featuring members of the studio audience playing for items on their wish list up to $25,000, and then you have one final game where one person is playing for a prize for everybody in the audience. It is basically Amazon's Christmas love letter to us, the consumer. Basically, a combination of the games of Let's Make a Deal and, what did I say? A flu-induced capitalist nightmare.
This reminds me a lot of sort of Drew Barrymore and Deal or No Deal and Oprah Winfrey and Maury Povich. And as you said, Minute to Win It, and all these items and ideas all mashed up into one game show, which everybody loves, said nobody except whoever's in the audience that may be winning this. Oh, by the way, let's throw in a little Wintuition also. I believe not the Mark Summers. Well, no, I'm sorry, not Wintuition. Winsanity, thank you, Brain.
There you go.
Let's throw that in there also.
The good
Nick Cannon when he didn't look like he was there to collect a paycheck.
Yes, Nick Cannon.
Which was not much. Which was not often.
Nick Cannon, you know, Nick Cannon is a good, you know, conduit. He spent his entire career being a good conduit. He just needs to act like he cares. And the thing of it is, as good as Nick Cannon is, which is exactly how useless Lele Pons is.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you there. And I love Nick Cannon. I think you could put Nick Cannon in front of paint and watching it dry, and he's really good. He is. And he's a showman. Everything that he has done leads up to it. I understand you need the cute chick in there. I don't understand why you need the cute chick in this. But then again, I don't understand a lot of things that they put in the show. And, you know, I am not giving the grade. There's too many people that I know that work on this and I want to be working on this. I'm going to be going to the T-Bar. I liked some of the stunts I thought were neat. I did like how they used the production on the values. The formatting is just it. And Chico just said it. It's sort of like a thank you letter to everybody. The formatting was okay. Let's throw something up there on Netflix. Let's bring it out. It's a game. We'll give out stuff. Marketing, marketing, marketing. Oh wait, yeah. Can we price promotion? Yes, let's do that too. Yay!
And here is the biggest problem.
It felt like a gigantic infomercial.
It felt like an inauthentic infomercial. None of it.
Oh well, that's it.
None of it seemed real. Every one of these contestants felt like they came out of Central Casting. None of it seemed real. This is a D-minus for me.
I'm going to the T-Bar. I want to do stuff later in life, so
okay.
I'm just gonna walk over there. But in all seriousness, it came down to the execution. The game itself was not the worst thing that I've ever seen. The format was not bad in terms of that. I'm gonna be completely honest, but everything else was just incredibly inauthentic. As you've said, it was. Horseradish, a decent cake, but you had horseradish icing on it. I'm going to the T-Bar.
Okay.
I'm going to give this a D+. Nick Cannon saves this from an outright failure, but yes, it feels like a 30-minute commercial for Amazon.
Yep, there's that. So
it's like, okay, this has been the year of the game show on Prime Video. We've had the 1% Club, which was the pinnacle of the form, and then it's just been going downhill ever since.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna say that, but I am gonna say it's not finishing on the best note in the universe.
No, it's not. But well, we've got one more to see in about 2 weeks, and that's Pop Culture Jeopardy. Hopefully, that will save it. We'll see. It's time to close our capsule and head to the speed round. We'll do that right after this here at 5-1. This is We Love to Interrupt.
WLTI has been brought to you by Lucky 13 Pitfall. Let's have 13 holes on there because that's pretty much the number of what Lucky 13 did. And by the way, if you're trying to make money off of doing something based on the ad revenue, wouldn't it behoove you to, I don't know, maybe not run it directly against the Summer Olympics? Chico Q.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You're really dumb. For real.
Seriously, yeah. Again, I like the people in Lucky 13. And I like that, and I get that you got to get it on the air, and I completely understand it. But if you're relying on sales to prop your show, and yeah, the numbers were good. The ratings, they were number one in their time slot for the most part, except when they were up against the Olympics. But, you know, if you're going to do that, and I complain and whine because I love game shows. I love people working on them. You guys are awesome. We need to do better.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. We do.
And what would make me feel better would be a speed round now. Survivor. Is Teenie or Genevieve in bigger trouble than we think that they're in?
You know what? I think they're still going to go after the guys, and Andy might be next.
I think Genevieve might be next, actually. How about you?
I'm sort of leaning towards Jason, which means Chico is going to be right. Wheel of Fortune, this close to $1 million winner.
Hey, oh, it's happening.
November 6th coming up.
We've been sniffing around it for a long time. I mean, it's been 10 years since I interviewed Sarah Manchester. 10 years. We got to have another one, right? Got to.
Got to happen, right? It's gonna happen. I can feel it. I'm getting stepped on. Okay.
But Jeopardy, Wheel of Champions?
For the time being, yes.
Yeah. And let's see. Anything else?
Dancing with the Stars. We're down to the finals. Who wins?
It's Alona Fisher. She's the rugby player. She's going. I'm sorry.
That Alona Fisher, it's Alona Mar.
Well, Alona Mar, I'm sorry. I'm thinking probably of the comedian or something like that. But yeah,
Jay is thinking Alona something.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Because no, and again, no one cares. At least the people on Dancing with Stars do, but we don't. Do we have any mail?
We don't have any mail, but if you want to send us some, our address is WLTIGameShowNewsNet.com, or you can follow us on all social media. Yes, my friends, that includes Blue Sky now at
Blue Sky.
We like Blue Sky.
By the way, I do have an account on Blue Sky, which is the same account as that other place, which would be GSN and Haterade.
Yeah, mine is at Dino R. Alexander. Love for you. Swing on by.
I have to double check my Blue Sky account because I know I set up one. I just have to make sure that it's there.
But if it was there, it would be at What would it be at?
I think it would be Jason Block. I'm not 100% sure. I have to look. I don't remember. Once I get it together, I'll let everyone else know. But of course, my Twitter handle is at Beat the Block number 2.
And of course, the network is at 5and1net. That's the number 5, A-N-D-O-N-E-N-E-T, where we talk about anything and everything network-wide, including what we have in store on the BS, which is basically, we basically talked about week 11 in the National Football League. Week 12 just kicked off as we record this with a snowstorm that I only could describe as thick with 12 C's.
It was a thick snowstorm, and the Cleveland beat Pittsburgh. Good. I mean, yeah. So, who knew? So, we'll check
that on.
And, Gordon, what's happening with the UVA?
UVA this weekend, we have lots of World Championship Series title matches coming up before Thanksgiving. Yes. Big lots. Lots of lots.
By the way, are you guys doing any charity work during Thanksgiving?
We always do.
Okay. Check it out at UBATodayInfo. There's a pay-per-view this weekend, and it's not Survivor Series. That would be AEW Full Gear. We'll be covering that, sort of, on NAWC. We're also going to be talking about the return of Rhea Ripley and setting up a women's War Games match, and who will be the fifth on the OG Bloodline team. And a little interesting note, remember we also talked about earlier that Nikki Garcia is now divorced from Artem. Do you know who is separated now? Linda and Vince McMahon. Linda McMahon has separated from Vince after the scandal. Well, so, yeah. Political?
Not at all.
Yeah, well, she's been...
Notice the key word is separated and not divorced.
Correct. It is separated. That is absolutely correct. Chico, it was a thing.
We just dropped a new episode today as we record this. We devoted the entire week to Max Headroom. On Monday, we had the short-lived Max Headroom series from ABC. And then we have the Max Headroom incident, where on one night in Chicago, WGN and WTTV were pirated. Sorry, WTTW were pirated, where we had a guy in a Max Headroom mask being goofy. And the kicker is, to this day, nobody knows who was behind it. So, yeah, that is that. It was a thing on TV.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Chico, before we take us home, what's up for next week? If we go next week.
If we go next week, we will talk about the finale of Dancing with the Stars. We will talk about Survivor. We will talk about Jeopardy. We will review Human versus Hamster. And if we don't, then we'll do all of the stuff in the week after. I know you're looking forward to Human versus Hamster.
We all are, but we're also looking forward to turkey, family, gratefulness, and all that good stuff. Unfortunately, the football's going to suck. Well, you know, well, at least for me. I mean,
what about, yo, Black Friday football. Black Friday football.
Yeah. Okay.
Not going to be terrible.
No, that's Raiders Chiefs. So, yeah, it's not going to be terrible.
Okay. So, until the next show, for Gordon, for Jason, I'm Chico. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
Good night.